Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, the Heart of Church Christ. Oh my heaven. The Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
And we also know that God wants us to love Him with all our hearts, to love others, and go with the gospel of peace into all of the world. We're running late today because today was our summer communion. And it was an awesome altar communion, as this is the first time we actually have been able to do altar communion in almost 18 months. I think it's either 18 or 19 months if my calendar's right. And what a privilege it was to have altar communion with our church. Once again, that we can all come before the table of the Lord and join in that union of faith and family. And I pray you're taking communion out there as you're watching as well. But today, we are going to move on with our sermon series, and today, we are looking at rebuilding the wall. The work begins. Now, how many of you know that it's when the work begins that things start getting all kinds of funky? You know, we can plan, and we can talk, and we can, but as soon as you start laying the work down, man, it just seems like that's when the evil one steps in, and he just wants to make everything bad, right? But God wants us to understand, don't give up, keep moving forward. So, to that, I want us to understand how we get the work done. What happens in the church? How has God given the church the ability to know and how to understand and what to do? He has given it to us through His very word and through the examples that only He can bring. From 2 Nehemiah, from the second chapter of Nehemiah, not 2 Nehemiah, chapter 2 of Nehemiah, we're going to be in verses 15 through 18. We've already read this, but we need to reread this because this is where we see what I call casting the vision and setting the mission. From the 15th verse of the second chapter of the book of Nehemiah, through the word of God, we read, "So I went up at night by the ravine and inspected the wall. When I entered the valley gate and returned, the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done, nor had I as yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. And they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work." Now, as we look at these words, as we begin to try and dissect what's going on here, the first thing I want us to understand is Nehemiah teaches these people, he shows these people a very realistic idea of the need. He shows them exactly where they are. He needed to go out and see it himself, okay? And he got out there and he rode around the entire village, he rode around the entire city, looking at the wall. He came back. He expressed to these men of power and prestige what he saw, what the situation was, and the fact that he was there by the order of the king to repair it. So he spoke to them the vision, the realistic vision, that this is God's house and we need to repair. We need to bring it back to that place of being held in esteem. We, the church of Jesus Christ, need to do the same thing in America. We need to understand that from the 1950s until the present day, the last 70 years, I'm not even 70 years old, but the last 70 years, we have allowed the church to take hind seat because we don't want to be pushy and we don't want to, because it wasn't comfortable. How many of us love conflict? I didn't think so. But you know, there's somebody who didn't run from conflict. And that somebody was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, he went right into the battle. That's why he came here. And we need to be as willing and as prepared. Nehemiah is going to find himself in the battle. We're not going to deal with that today. We're going to deal with that next week. All right? Little bit of foreshadowing. Because next week, you are going to find out that, today, pastor's going to make it all sound good, that, this went swimmingly. Not quite. It didn't have its hiccups, all right? How many of us find in life that there are always hiccups? There are these little things, It's like after you eat a lot of onions and you just keep bringing them back up. They don't taste as good the second and third time around. And that's what spiritual warfare is, because people just keep bringing this stuff around. And that's what we're going to get into next week. But today, I want us to understand, Nehemiah had a vision. Nehemiah had a vision 1,000 miles away, but he had yet to see what the city was actually like. Do you think he was let down? Do you think when he got there, it was like, oh, man, there's hardly any work that needs done. Why'd I even come? I'm sure when he got there, because it says about how he went to go through the one area and the wall was so dead and the rubble was so bad, he couldn't even get the horse through. So he had to go around. So it was bad. Where's the Church of Jesus Christ today? It's bad. What do you mean by that, Pastor? You can go into any church throughout the world and find the flavor you want. There are more flavors of churches than Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And that's sad, because there's one Jesus Christ. There's one gospel. And there are so many people out there that are willing to compromise what's in here so we can have lots of people in here. And that's wrong. To be a Christian is one of the most difficult things you are ever going to do, because it means you've got to say no to a lot of things in life. Okay? Now, how many of you out there are succeeding with every one of your no's? Neither am I. The point of the matter is we are trying. And that's what we need to remember. That's what God asks us to do. Try. Because we are sinners saved by grace. Jesus paid the price. God said to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient." We need to understand, you and I aren't going to make it. We are not going to make it on our own merit. The only merit that gets us into heaven is the blood and body of Jesus Christ, which we just partook of here today. Praise his holy name. And as we understand that, we understand grace on the greater behalf. And you out there, the folks who are out there on the internet, for those of you who are looking at the church and you're saying, what's it all about? And, these people are hypocrites. Yes, we are. So are you. So come on board. Because we all need the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because without him, we're not going to get anywhere. And Nehemiah understood that it's all about the Lord. It's about building it back up, putting it back where it belongs. We need to have Christ on the throne. We need to have his word highly exalted. And he gave that truth to the people of this day and time. And what did they do? When he cast the vision and mission to each and every one of them, they said in verse 17, its gates have been burned, and we will no longer be in reproach. I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's word which he had spoken to me. And they said, what? Let us arise and build. One of the things we need to understand, when the vision has been cast, when we know that it is our responsibility to transform lives to the heart of Jesus Christ, is that not what the church is supposed to do? We are to transform lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to us, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." That means that we are to transform people to that place where Jesus transformed us true. Do you understand that? Your pastor doesn't make this stuff up. I can't. I'm not God. But I can live by it, and I can be blessed by it, and we can grow by it. And I don't mean that it means numerically. Will it mean numerically? Yes, I think it will. But what is it going to mean first off and foremost? That change has to happen here. Amen. And as we are changed and we grow, we begin to see and understand and know that as the wall gets rebuilt, as the church gets restored back to its former glory, we need to understand something. God does not build backwards. God builds forwards. God does not want us to build a church that was back in the 1950s. God wants us to build a church that is for 2021, 2022, 2023, and forward. That's the church we're supposed to build. Remembering what is behind, but pressing on toward the goal for which we have been called heavenward in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? And that's what we need to do. This message is as much for us as for all of you out there who would believe and would become a part of this congregation. Now, for those of you who are out there on the internet, yes, I'm speaking to you directly right now. We want you to become part of this church. We want to know who you are and how we're helping you. We want to know your name. We want to pray for you. Every week we have a prayer sheet here, and we pray for all of the people who are written down on that prayer sheet. We want to know your name. And we want you to know that you're part of a church. Now, I'm going to say something that I don't normally say. I also want you to know that you have a place that you can commit your tithe to do the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, we have expenses. Yes, we support missionaries. 10%. Am I right, Brother Mitch? You're head of missions. Am I right? Well, he's in children's church. I was going to ask Brother Wendell because he's our treasurer. Over 10%. Right off the top, we don't care what comes in, 10% goes out. And when you folks give above and beyond, when you designate, that's not considered. Am I right, Miss Virginia? There's my assistant. That's the lady that writes the checks. Okay? I know she knows. Because, folks, you need to understand, if you are connected through vision only, then you are hearers of the word, but not doers thereof. And I want you to be doers because doers receive the blessing. Can I get an amen? It was these men and women who began building the wall, doing what they were told to do, that God brought the blessing to. We need to tell people, if you want to be part of the blessing, you got to be willing to bless. How do I end every email? Be blessed, be a blessing. We need to understand the same principles. Here Nehemiah was. He got blessed by the king to go, put his life on the line. Got all the permissions, got all the letters. He didn't even have to buy the goods. The king gave them to him. Come on, people. Do you understand the implications of that for the church of Jesus Christ? If we literally believe that the King of Kings isn't going to pay the bill... Wow. You and I need to see things with different glasses on. We need to look through the Bible and what does God tell us? And when He casts a vision, when He gives the mission, and we take it into our hearts, it will be accomplished. It will be completed. For God does not start anything that He does not finish. Now, have men started well and finished poorly? Yes, because somewhere along the line something happened, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But we need to get the work going. Right now, we just cast the vision, and they're buying into the vision, and they're getting ready to go, right? Well, I want you to look at Nehemiah chapter 3. In Nehemiah chapter 3, the builders of the wall, we come to a place where they name a whole bunch of people whose names I will butcher, and from towns and places that I will possibly kill and put asunder. So I'm not reading their names. I'm not going to embarrass myself that I cannot speak these Hebraic names or whatever they may be. But please understand this. Every person here chose their portion, what they were going to do. It was laid out, okay? It was laid out. The parameters were set. Everybody knew what they were supposed to do. I'm just going to give you a couple here. From the very first, Eliashib, the high priest, arose with his brothers, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They consecrated the wall to the tower of the hundredth and the tower of Hanael. Next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zachar, the son of Imri, built. Now, I want you to see something in those first verses. The men of who? The men of what built? The men of Jericho. That had nothing to do with Jerusalem, did it? I want you to understand something. Jerusalem was the fortified city. Jericho used to be a fortified city. But Jericho was destroyed. And all the surrounding area would go to, during a time of trouble, during a time of famine, or a time of invasion, they would go to the fortified city. Well, they had no fortified city. I want you to think about our world. Where does the world go when they have problems? You know, it's so amazing because the government has done this. They used to come to the church. They would come to the church, seek out the pastor, try and get help. Now, we sign up for all the programs in Harrisburg. We get on the internet and we sign up for unemployment. We sign up for welfare and we sign up for WIC. And we sign up because what? The government wants you to rely on them rather than rely on God. The government wants you to be insufficient and God wants you to be wholly sufficient. And we have become such a people that we would rather be insufficient and rely upon the government to give us what we're going to have, rather than get out there and have the initiative to show our own worth. We have become fat and lazy, and I mean that in a very spiritual sense. God warned Israel, lest you remember who I am and what I have done for you, you will forget me. We have forgotten in the 1950s, from the 1930s to the 1950s, this country grew exponentially. We became the industrial leader of the world. But at the same time, they began tearing down the church because everybody had plenty. So you didn't need the church anymore. So they started making government programs for those less fortunate when something would happen. And the church said, okay, yeah, that's fine. We've got plenty. We're still doing our ministries. We're still doing our stuff. In fact, you know what? This really makes it nice because we can put more money in the bank. We can say, oh, let's have a building fund where if anything, and let's have an organ fund, and let's have a pew fund, and let's have a carpet fund, and let's have a, and the names go on and on and on. I know churches that have $750,000 sitting in the bank that they can't touch to do anything because the carpet is still good. It's faded, fallen apart. We won't spend it. The wall's broken, people. It's time to rebuild the wall. We need to know that God knows what's going on. He has given us the wherewithal. And are we going to be that wherewithal? You know, it amazes me. I have been in church after church after church where they will literally sit down and they will say, oh, well, you know, we can't touch that money. We can't touch that money because, you know, we never know. There might be a rainy day. Folks, God told us he was not going to flood the earth again. The next time he comes, it's going to be with fire. And your money's going to burn up. Don't you think we need to get it out there doing the work of the gospel? And I don't mean giving the pastor a raise. I'm doing well. Thank you very much. You have blessed me. But what I am talking about is where we have the wherewithal and the druthers to reach out into our community with the small amount of funds we have, we need to do it. Because God's going to see if we're going to be honest and upright before him. And I want you to understand something. That's exactly what happened here. These men had to be honest and upright before God to build this wall and make no money out of it. But we're going to see that there's a time, and that's after next week. That'll be the following week. We're going to see that there comes a time when we are soon to forget. More foreshadowing. Because Nehemiah deals with every aspect of the church. He really does. God uses Nehemiah to set up the parameters, principles, precepts, vision, and mission like you wouldn't believe. And everybody's out there saying, well, how do we grow the church? How do we grow the church? God's not speaking to me. Are you reading the book? There's no question what we're supposed to be doing. Are we going to do it? Well, here's something I want you all to look at. Look at chapter 3 and verse 10. Now, we're going to read a couple of these verses, okay? Chapter 3 and verse 10 says, next to them, Jedidiah, the son of Haremphah, ooh, I told you I'm going to butcher these that I read, all right? Made repairs opposite his house. Jump to verse 23. After them, Benjamin and Hashub carried out repairs in front of their house. Verse 28. Above the horse gate, the priests carried out repairs, each in front of his house. 29. After them, Zadok, the son of Immer, carried out repairs in front of his house. And 30. After him, Hananiah, the son of Shemaiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalph, repaired another section. After him, Meshulam, the son of, Berchia, carried out repairs in front of his own quarters. Why did I pick these out? Because these people were doing repairs right in front of their houses. How many of us need to get our house right first? Am I there? Yes, I'm there. We need to start at our own door and from there work out. And for some of us, that means we need to change our heart because we have made ourselves so hard towards other people in our family that what we have become is the problem, not the solution. And God wants us to check ourselves. Remember, judgment begins with the church. These men saw where they lived and they began there. We need to begin where we live, where we are, in our families, and then for us in the church right here at the Heart of Christ Church, and then build out into the community. Amen? And that's the truth. You know, we're looking at bringing in another church into our fold. We are looking at adopting another church and becoming one with them. Those discussions, in fact, on the 17th of this month, and for all you folks that are a part of that church that are watching this, praise Jesus, because you need to be watching this set of series here because it is speaking directly to the heart of who we are and what we believe. and you need to hear it. But as we are moving in that line, one of the things we're going to need to do is we're going to need to help shore them up as well. Okay? We need to love them and help them build. We're going to be building on somebody else's foundation. We're going to have to help them take things down and put things in, et cetera, because that's how it works. And I cannot wait for that process, because it's a twofold process, because I want you to understand we ain't perfect. And there are things they're going to bring to the process that are going to enable us to move forward and be a better church. Can I get an amen? We'll be able to reach more people, be more effective in our community and the life of the kingdom. And that's what this is all about. Because these men started these repairs in front of their houses. Do you think they did it alone? No, they had other people helping them. And then when that section was done, they would go to where help was needed. And they would go to where help was needed until the entire wall was rebuilt. We need to understand, it's not my kingdom. I don't get this little piece and it's mine and nobody else gets to touch it. Doesn't work that way. And if you think it does, you're in the wrong house. Because there's only one head, and he is Jesus the Christ. Can I get an amen from the church? The rest of us carry out all the work. Jesus plans it, apportions it, and we follow. Jesus didn't say, hey, why don't you lead me? Jesus said, come, follow me. And that's where we need to be, following Jesus Christ. Just as these people followed Nehemiah, who to them was a type of the Christ. And that's what we need to remember as we look at the church and what it does. Some of us will need to begin closer to home. And folks, I want you to understand, we're all at different levels, and it's okay. If we weren't at different levels, how boring would life be? If we were all vanilla milkshakes, how exciting would life be? I'm sorry, I don't like vanilla ice cream. Chocolate is my go-to, okay? Chocolate peanut butter is really awesome. But the point of the matter is, we like a variety, don't we? And I can remember as a young man growing up, there was a place, it was called Bupp's Dairy. And yes, this is an illustration. It's called Bupp's Dairy. And my family would go there, and my dad would order this one little ice cream dish that was just so awesome. It came out in a stainless steel dish. It was about this long. It stood about that high. And it was in the form of a V with two end plates. Can you guess what it was called? No, it was called the hog trough. Because it literally looked like a pig trough. It was called the hog trough. It had 14 scoops of ice cream in it. And my dad, God love him, would get 14 different flavors every time we went, all right? My point in saying that was my dad loved the variety, the diversity. My Father in heaven loves the diversity. He loves the fact that we are all different. We all look different. We act different. But yet we can be one in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's where God wants us to be. He wants to see all the multitudes of gifts that he has given unto the church. And that means we're going to be at different levels of faith. And we're going to have to start at different places in the process of working. But we cannot give up. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to be in verses 8 through 12. 2 Corinthians 8 through 1. We're going to read 8 through 12 together. From the 8th verse of the first chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. Thus saith the word of the Lord. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. For our proud confidence in this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you. We need to remember, things are going to get difficult. The work is not going to be easy. How many of you were outside yesterday working in that 90-degree heat? Oh, yeah. Pastor, don't sweat. I was sweating. I don't sweat. I was sweating. What's that tell you? I was hot. I drank so much. I drink coffee on a 90-degree day. All of you people know me. I drink coffee on a 90-degree day. I drank 5 bottles of water yesterday. 5 bottles of water. And I tell you right now, I look like I took a shower with my clothes on. It was that hot outside. And it's gonna get hot. The evil one is gonna turn up the temperature as we start working on the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And you're gonna think to some point, as Paul just said here, oh, I'm gonna die. No, you are passing from death to life as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I'll tell you right now, there's going to be some sweating going on in that one. Because I don't know anybody that doesn't look into the face of God and sweat a little bit. Because there's a lot in me he needs to draw out. Can I get an amen? And I know you meant that towards yourself, not me, right? Second scripture, 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Verses 18 through 24. From 1 John, 3rd chapter, in the 18th verse, the word of the Lord speaketh unto us, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart before him. In whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and what? Love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know this by this, that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there are going to be times when you're going to look at the mess that's around you because it's your mess. How many of us like looking at our mess? We don't want anybody else looking at it either, do we? But it's there all the same. And who's the only one that's going to be able to fix your mess? God with you. Well, guess what? God is in you. So if you allow him, he's going to bring it. But Satan is going to tell you, oh, you think God works through you? Who do you think you are? Your heart is going to condemn you because our heart is evil above all things. That's the scripture. That's not Pastor Rich. That's the word of God. But the word of God here tells us, man, your heart is condemning you. And that's okay because we are transforming your life to the heart of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation for those who believe in him. So it is that transformation that we are seeking to happen. As you are working this stuff out, as you are going through the rubble, don't keep any of it. You know, how many times do we pick up something that's broken? You all know you do this. Well, I might be able to use that later. Or we pick up this thing and it's probably 15 years old and dry rotted. Well, you know, I might need a replacement part at some point in time. I got husbands looking at wives. I've got wives looking at husbands. I've got people smiling and smirking. And you all out there on the internet know we all do it. Here's the reality, folks. God wants us to understand. Get rid of the trash. Take out the trash. Don't keep the trash. The garbage man's a-coming. Put out the trash. Because it stinketh before the Lord. And as we do, God's going to do a new work in us. Because here's the thing. The King has given us all new building material. Didn't we say that at the beginning? We cannot keep putting the same junk back on top and expecting it to stay. That is called insanity. Keep doing the same thing and expect different results. Come on. It's time to bring in the new and understand that in Christ Jesus, what he will give us, what he will bring to us, will far outweigh anything that we've wanted to keep, anything that we've wanted to hang on to. And you are worth it all. And God is going to bring it to us. God is going to give us the love and the hope. He is going to bring to us the joy because this is eternal reward. I want you to think about this. The new building material that God is going to bring into the life of this church is new people. We are the living stones that God is going to build this church with. Those who are going to come in with us are the living stones that God is going to build the church with. It is eternal. What I am speaking of to you here today is eternal. We are not bringing wood, hay, and stubble. We are using gold, silver, and precious stones. And we are building on the cornerstone of our faith, the foundation, who is Christ Jesus our Lord. For there is no other foundation that can be laid by man than that which has already been laid, Jesus Christ. So today, as we begin to build, the work will be difficult. It's going to get hot. It's going to get sticky. It's going to get miserable. But there's a water truck coming right around the corner to refresh us, and that's the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And in that, we will be revived, and we will be strengthened, and we will be given the power to move forward, to move on, as we see our lives being changed, the lives of others being changed, and new lives coming in. Remember, the King has said, I will see to it that you have everything you need to build the wall. Come on. How many of you are willing to buy this vision? How many of you are willing to go along with this mission? and begin building the wall around the city of God. Would you pray with me today? Father God, we thank you for the blessing that you have given us. We thank you for this word. And Lord, we know you're not done with this word, as there are two more sermons coming after this one, Lord. So we just pray that you would strengthen us, that we would have your resolve to begin the work. Because, Lord, that's what we need to do. We need to begin the work that it may go onward. Because, Lord God, the church will never be done until the day you call us home. That's the end. But until that point, we are still building the wall. And may that work continue in each of us personally, unto the world, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.